Okay, good morning, LifePoint Church. Hope everybody's doing well. Enjoying the morning so far. Give it a big shout out to Autumn again for leading us in worship this morning. And Autumn has come in a few times and rescued us and led worship for us, and she does a fantastic job. And we're so thankful to know her and have her coming in and filling in. With that, we need to be in prayer for Jared and Hillary and Owen, who will at least hopefully be here tomorrow night or Tuesday morning, hopefully sooner than later for Hillary, because we love Hillary. But man, Jared and Hillary have been such a huge part of this church. Jared and stepping in over the last year or so and leading worship for us has done a phenomenal job. Watching him grow as a young man has been a very humbling and proud moment for me. When I first came to LifePoint, he was a middle school kid, and that makes me feel really old. That just hit. Hold up. All right. My wife was talking about my salt and pepper hair coming yesterday. Sawyer was standing in the golf course and looked up at me and said, "Dad, you got stitches in your nose?" And that was nose hair. And so I had a rough day yesterday. And the fact that I just thought about that, that's got me really rattled. I apologize. Anyways, so yeah, we'll be praying for Jared and Hillary and Owen. They're going to do a phenomenal job as parents, and we're so blessed and lucky to have them at our church. And but today we're continuing in on our current message series called Why Pray. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at four very specific and unique prayers from the Apostle Paul. And we're looking at them and kind of identifying why we should pray. I mean, I think there's a ton of reasons that we should pray. We know that. We talk about those a lot in church. And we see them all throughout Scripture. But we're focusing in on four of these very common, unique prayers that Paul prayed for the early church. And when we look at them, we see that there's this pattern with each of them. We see that he prays a very specific prayer for the church or for the people. And then he follows it up with "so that." And then he gives the reason why he's praying that. And I love that pattern. It just makes a lot of sense to me. So, for example, in week one, we talked about and we saw the prayer where we, as followers of Christ, should be praying for strength, right, and power so that Christ may dwell within us. Last week, we talked about how we need to be active in sharing our faith so that we would have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. And I hope that you all have added those to your prayer life. Or if you didn't have a very good prayer life, that you've just started to pray as much as possible over the past few weeks. But I specifically hope that you're praying for strength and power and to be active in sharing your faith, and that God has given you opportunities in the past week to actually share your faith. And today we're continuing on with these prayers of Paul. And we're going to look at one that he prayed. And we're also going to see that Jesus prayed a very similar prayer. And I don't know about you all, but if Paul prayed a specific prayer and Jesus prayed that prayer, like, I want to get in on that prayer, right? I think it's a pretty important thing that we should be praying for. And what we're going to see is that we should be praying for unity. Praying for unity within the church, unity amongst other believers, unity amongst the global church. Unity in Christ is something that we must be praying for. Now, with that said, how many of you all would say that you are confident that the church today, not necessarily just LifePoint, but the church as a whole today, all the believers, that you know, the believers together, that we're unified? Nobody? Right. Yet we see we need to be praying for unity. That unity is important. So based off that response, which is the exact response I was thinking we were going to get, we have a unity problem in the church. For example, how many of you this morning, I'm sure I'll get some hands on this one since I don't like it saying raise your hand, no one raise your hands. How many of you all have ever been hurt, criticized, or excluded by a group of believers or the church based on just you, the fact that you thought differently or you had a little different belief or maybe that you looked differently or what this could be some difference that you were hurt, judged, pushed to the side. All right, a lot of us. I will put two hands up on that one because I've been in the, grew up in the church and I've experienced that full force, both as just attending a church as well as being on staff at a church and in Bible college. It's awesome. How many of you would say that at one point in time that you are a Christ follower, you were going to church and you were in a very dark and difficult time in your life and you were judged for that? When it was the time that the church and the followers of Jesus should come alongside you and loved you and encouraged you and walked point with you, it was easier for them to judge you, to talk bad about you, and to say, you know what, that's a mess. That's going to take a lot of work, and I don't want to deal with it. We have a unity problem, and a lot of us have experienced it. Now the tough question. That was the easy one. The tough question. How many of you would be bold enough and honest enough to raise your hand and say that you have been the one that has judged somebody or judged a church or judged a denomination or a group of believers because they thought differently than you? I'm going to raise my hand. Yeah. So we've experienced it and we didn't like it. But we also dish it out. We have a unity problem in the church. We need to pray for unity. And I believe one of the biggest reasons that this is the case, that this is such an issue for us today, is because the enemy knows that if we're divided, we're weak. We don't have near as much power, and we can be picked off one at a time. But when we're unified, man, we're unstoppable. Unity is a very, very powerful and necessary and needed thing within the church. So let's go ahead and check out Paul's prayer addressing the need for God's people to be unified and why this is so important. And we find this in Romans chapter 15. We're starting in verse 5, where Paul prays this. He says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had." Basically, he's praying that you would treat each other like Jesus would treat you, right? He says, again, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that we may be unified in order to glorify God, to praise him, to lift his name. Verse 7, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Big words right there in verse 7. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. If we want to glorify God as individuals and as a church, we've got to love and accept each other. We have to treat each other just as Christ treated us. That's where things get super tricky. As Christ accepted us. Jesus also prayed something very, very similar. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23, Jesus says this, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us." Why? "So that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus continues, verse 22, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed for the unity of the church. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church, that we would be unified so that the world may know God, so that the world would know that God sent Jesus to come and to die, to give his life so that we can be made right before the Father, that we would be unified to glorify him. So as a church, we're going to pray to be strengthened in God's power. We're going to pray to be active in sharing our faith, and we're going to pray for the unity of the church so that God can be glorified. And if that's not enough of a reason, simply right there with those verses, if you're not sold on it, then that's okay. There's more. The Bible says a lot more about unity. Bible talks a ton. There's a ton of scripture about unity. So we're going to look at three additional reasons why praying for unity in the church is critical. It's important. It's a must. Like, as a Christ follower, you can't sidestep this one. And this one's tough. Because as people, we typically like to hang out and associate with those who are very similar to us. Because it's comfortable. It's easy. Same likes, same interests, same, you know, thought process and patterns, the way we think, the way we process things. It's easier that way. But coming in and doing life together with people that are different than you, that's where life gets tricky. But that's where the power is. That's where the power of the church comes into play. So three additional reasons why it's important to pray for unity. And the first one we're going to see is because, believe it or not, we actually need each other. As followers of Christ, we need each other. I need you all. You need me. Believe it or not, I know that's shocking. We need each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Paul says this. As our bodies have many parts, and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body, with the church, right? We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And I love this analogy of the church being the body of Christ, because it shows how necessary each part is. It goes on to say that each part is critical and none more important than the other. We're all equally important in fulfilling our mission of advancing the kingdom, reaching as many people as possible with the good news of Jesus so that they can be restored and made right before God. And we need each other. We are the body of Christ. Basically, we have hands, right? But the hands aren't ears. Hands can't be ears. Only ears can be ears. But ears can't be the feet. Feet can't be the shoulder. But they're all important. If you are going to function as designed, max capacity, you need everything clicking on all cylinders. Church is the same. If the ears go away, or we say the ears are garbage, we don't need them, get rid of the ears, we're at a deficit. If we say we don't need the feet anymore because we don't like the way they operate, or they're just weird, we don't get them. So get rid of the feet. We're going to have a tough time getting places. Sure, we can still get somewhere, but we're going to be delayed. The body of Christ needs each other. Without each other, we are incomplete. One body. It's beautiful. We need to be unified. But also understand that unity is not the same as uniformity. It's where we get mixed up sometimes. We think, well, if we're going to be unified, then we all have to be the same. Not necessarily. Unity means that we come together with all of our beautiful differences, wired differently, thinking differently, processing things differently. And we come together and we do something incredible. Our differences are what make a huge difference in being able to reach as many people as possible. And I've been guilty of thinking the reverse and thinking the opposite. Growing up in a very, very conservative movement, I would say, yes, I believe in the unity of the church, but there's been many times that I've said, we need to be unified as a body, but these super conservative or judgmental or whatever people, this church that I grew up in, they're off the charts. They're ridiculous. Over here, go away. You're dead to me. But the beauty of the body of Christ is those people will reach people with the gospel. They'll reach people that I won't reach. They'll reach people that won't listen to me. They'll reach people that won't give me the time of day because I have tattoos. That's cool. That's okay. That doesn't bother me. Because that's necessary as the body of Christ. Just like I'm going to reach people that they may not. We can't judge them for that because they're different. Because they have a different view of Scripture or of how things should happen. We all need each other to reach as many people with the gospel as possible. If we want to reach Louisville and Kentucky and beyond, we have to be unified, functioning as one body. As the church, we need to accept each other, other Christ followers, as Jesus accepted us. Which means, as believers, we have to stop fighting and arguing and bickering over things that don't matter. And we do this all the time. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to try hard not to get on the soapbox, but it's tough for me not to because I get really frustrated when I see Christ followers on Facebook or Instagram or just wherever fighting and arguing over stuff that doesn't matter. Not talking about core doctrine about Jesus. I'm not talking about you know, Jesus being the Son of God, died, shed his blood, rose again for us. I mean, there's some things that are pretty non-negotiables, but there are so many other things that we like to fight and argue about that don't matter. Little theological differences that we want to fight about. It's ridiculous. We want to argue about which translation of the Bible should be preached from. When I get around a bunch of pastors, one that sometimes they'll be like, oh, where you preach out of? Oh, you preach out of that? Pfft. Seriously? What does that matter? Let's focus on what we need to be doing. You might have a good reason to say that this version or translation is better than the other, but is it worth fighting over? No. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to stop arguing over what kind of music to sing or what style of music or the way we dress or all these other little things because there are broken people in this world. There's a lost and dying world that doesn't know Jesus. That's what we should be focused on. That's why we should come together, because there's people that are broken. There are people that are moments away from taking their own life because they feel like they have nobody and that no one cares about them. And that is sad, incredible. I mean, that's devastating that there are people that think that. When you want to throw out the number of how many believers there are in the United States alone and how many churches there are, yet we have people in our community that feel like they have nobody and no reason to live and that no one cares about them. That's a shot at what we're doing as a church and the failure that we are operating in, if that's the way people feel. We've got to stop arguing over stupid stuff. Families are falling apart. We have so many kids in Kentucky that are in out-of-home care that have no one. Not only in Kentucky, but everywhere, there's a drug epidemic that is just rocking families. Heroin, meth, it's everywhere. I don't care what end of town of Louisville you live in, it's everywhere. Substance abuse is running rampant. It's because people are hurting. Racial injustice galore. We can sit back and say it's not, but you're only fooling yourself. Open your eyes. Truly take a look around you and the world that's crumbling. There are beautiful people in the LGBTQ+ community that are longing to connect with God. longing for someone to love them and care about them. Yet they've been attacked, harassed, pushed away, shut off by the church. Claiming the name of God. We just can't do that. People are in other countries being tortured and killed for their faith to share the good news of Jesus or to open a Bible and study. And yet we want to argue about clothes, environment, style of service. We've lost sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We have to be unified. We have to come together to reach a lost and dying, broken world that every single one of us live in, which every single one of us come into connection with every day. Regardless of what your career is or what you do, no matter how old you are, you come into contact with a broken world daily. Daily. We need each other. We desperately need each other to make an impact in this world that we need to for the gospel. To take Jesus, who loves them, to take that to this world. We truly need each other. The second reason that we need to pray for unity, because the world will see God's love through it. When we're unified, people who don't know Christ will see that and be like, man, there's something different about those people. They're a little different. Even within their group, they're different, but they love each other. They're unified. When they experience that, it triggers something in them. Because unity is infectious. The gospel, though offensive, though it tells you that you are broken and in need of Jesus, it's infectious because it changes lives. And unity is an example of that. That's why we need to pray for unity. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That's what Paul prayed. So what does it look like to accept one another as Jesus accepted you? Think about that one. Whenever you think about pointing the finger or judging or coming at another believer, think about, okay, I need to accept them as Jesus accepted me. So how did Jesus accept me? Well, Jesus accepted me when I was still a sinner. Jesus accepted me before I agreed with him. Jesus accepted me and loved me while I was still trying to do things my way. Didn't care about him. Jesus loved and accepted me when I was out there doing my own thing and before I was really even focused on God whatsoever. He loved me, accepted me. So why then would we not love and accept someone else that maybe doesn't agree with us or doesn't believe exactly like we believe? Have to come together in unity. Accept one another as Jesus accepted you to bring praise to God. While you may be different, have different focuses, passions, styles, thought processes, I know it's tough, but we have to accept and love one each other. Come together to truly be the church. Think about it. Instead of the church or Christians being known for what we're against, what if we were known for what we were for? I've heard that said time and time again, but really think about that. I think if you said, tell me about, you know, if you went to someone that didn't know Jesus, said, tell me about a Christ follower or someone that follows Jesus, they're probably just going to talk about what we're against. But how different would the world view us? And how much further would the gospel go if when someone said, hey, tell me about a Christ follower, they're like, man, they're loving, they're kind. They serve their community. They care about the broken. They're out there loving people. They're making an impact on the world. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Not tearing people down in the name of Jesus, but building people up. The world would be a different place. I promise you. We have to love and accept one another. Jesus couldn't have said it any more clearly in John chapter 13, one of my favorite verses, 34 and 35. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Then in verse 35, he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice he didn't say that they'll know you're my disciples by your correct doctrine or theology, or they'll know you're my disciples by your denominational preference, what the name of your church is. He didn't say that they're going to know you by your music style or what translation of the Bible you read or any of that stuff. He says, no, they will know you're my disciples by how you love one another, how you treat each other. Unity is critical. This is why this prayer is so important. This is why it's so important for us to be unified as a church, for us to pray big and specific prayers for unity. Because we need each other. And because the world will see God's love through us, through the way we care and love for each other. And then finally, the third reason that we need to pray for unity is because we can do more together. We can do so much more together as the church, unified. I get it. I'm a control freak and a perfectionist. If you've been around me, it does not take long to figure that out. And many times I like to say, you know what? I think I can just do it better myself, so I'm just going to go do it all by myself. That's a flaw. A big time flaw that I'm aware of, I'm working on. But together, we can do so much more. Sure, I could maybe go do this one thing and do a great job at it, but if I had 10 other people with me, man, we'd knock it out. We'd do so much better of a job because we can do more together. We can do more together than apart. As individual Christ followers, we can do more together. As LifePoint Church, we can do more together than we can all running solo. And as the church, the capital C church, however you want to say it, the global church, the body of Christ, we are going to do more together when we're unified than when we're splintered and separated and segregated. Period. We're going to do more together than apart. We have to partner together with all of our differences. We partner together within our communities, within our churches, within our city, within our state, churches, organizations. We partner together and we can do more together than we can apart. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 tells us this about the early church. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. They were unified. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned wasn't their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them. It was upon them all. There were no needy people among them. We're not talking about a few people. We're talking about a lot of people. And there were no needy people among them. Because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those who were in need. That's unity. That's powerful. That's people coming together, unified. I guarantee you they all didn't agree with each other. They probably all didn't like each other. I don't know if I've ever been in a room with 10 people that all liked each other completely. Seriously. But they were unified. They were together. There was no needy people among them. Unified in heart, soul, and mind. Testifying to the name of Jesus. What if we did that? What would it look like if we did that in our lives, in our communities, in our small circle of friends? And then within our church here at LifePoint, and then outside of these walls with other churches, and we partnered. What if we could say there were no needy people in our churches? Even to start there. No needy people in our communities, in our state, in our country. I know that seems like a pipe dream, right? Like that's just way out there. Especially in 2019, where I think we are the most divided as the church, as a nation, that we could ever possibly be. You can't pick up a newspaper, read a blog post, go on, watch the news, log on to the internet without seeing division right in your face. But what if we were unified as the church? I think it can happen. Like I really do, because that is God's plan for the church. And if that's God's plan, then it can happen. No needy people among them. And this is something that's been on my heart for many years. I was hit in the face with it again this week. I was in Dayton for some workshops that I needed to go to. And I just was confronted with the question popped in my mind is, what are we doing as a church? Again, not just LifePoint, but just the church as whole, but also LifePoint. Do we just come here and sit, sing a few songs, check it off our list, and roll out? That's it? Or do we really want to make an impact in the world? Do we really want to make an impact in our city? Do we really want to grow together as a united front, as the body of Christ, and build each other up and lift each other up? And when someone's hurting, that's sitting in this room, that other people in this room actually come to them and say, you know what, your life is a wreck, and I want to come and crash into it and help you and love you and lift you up and support you through it. And yes, it's going to take time all out of my schedule, but we're here for you. We love you. Or hey, you know what, let's get together and let's pray for this group of people. Or let's pray for this church, or let's pray for this neighborhood, or let's pray for this apartment complex that's right across the street from us. Better yet, why don't we go serve them? Why don't we go love them? There's other churches all around us. Why aren't we partnering with them? What if the church wasn't a competition? But what if we said, you know what? We're all different. But we have the same mission. You're going to reach this group of people better than we can. And we're going to reach this group. And you're going to reach this group. And you've already got an in with this community. And you got an in here. And hey, yeah, we don't agree on everything. Yeah, we may not agree in the same, you know, in what our eschatology is. What's going to happen in the end times. But what if we came together and said, there's a broken world out here. Let's be united to make an impact in the name of Jesus so that God would get all the glory and so that the world around us would know who we are. Most importantly, whose we are. We need to be praying for unity. We need each other desperately. We need each other. Man, we're going to do so much more together than we will apart. I promise you that. We're going to do more together than apart. We've got to be active. Be active in sharing your faith. I hope some of you all have shared your faith this week. Again, simple ways. We talked about it last week. Let's pray for power, right? Pray for power. Pray to be active in sharing our faith. And today, let's begin to pray for unity. Starting right here. Unity at LifePoint Church. This is our first step. We can't be unified outside the walls if we're not unified here. Doesn't mean we agree with each other on everything. Doesn't mean you have to agree with me on everything. That was a tough one for me to say. Just kidding. But we have to be unified. All of our differences, all of our beautiful skill sets, your beautiful hearts, passions, minds, abilities, all coming together to reach as many people with the good news as possible. So let's begin to pray for that as a church and beyond. All right, let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, again, just so thankful that you love us, that you accept us together in unity so that we can take your truth to the ends of the earth, starting right here on Bardstown Road, God, in Louisville. God, may we be unified for your glory. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning. You've never really stepped over that line of faith, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that gift of salvation. Maybe it's because you've looked in at the church. You've looked in at believers that you know, and they can't even get along together. So why would you want to be a part of that? They can't even agree on anything. If that's you, just push all that to the side. And just know that God loves you right where you're at. Your flaws and your failures and your skills and how great you are. Uniquely designed and created by him. He loves you. He wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you, to connect with you, so that you can be made right, grow closer to him, closer to who you truly are. And if that's you this morning, Scripture says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. And know that it's not a prayer. It's not a magical little saying or anything like that. It's your heart connecting with God. It's receiving the beautiful gift that Jesus has given. They're giving his life for you. And all you have to do is receive it. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you need it. Believe that God sent his son to die and raise again for you. And through that, you can be made right. You just confess and believe however God leads you. If that's you and you're not ready for that, or you have more questions, man, come talk to me. I'd love to talk with you. You can ask the tough questions. I might have answers, I might not. But we're here for you. We love you. We want you to be connected to us, but most importantly, connected to Christ. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, and man, unity is so far off your radar. You're hurt. You've been hurt by the church, you're broken, or whatever it may be, and you're just not even close to unity, begin to pray for unity. Pray that God starts to do a work in you to start, that you would be more unified, that when you look down at other people who claim the name of Jesus that don't necessarily agree with you on everything, that you can love them, that you all can work together to reach as many people as possible. It's a beautiful thing. One thing that's so incredible about that is once you're actually able to do that, then you can actually have some good conversation about maybe some of those things that you think differently on. That's okay. Healthy conversation. But we're not doing that. So begin to pray for unity, starting with you, then pray for unity within our church here at LifePoint. And unity among the entire church, all believers. Because I promise you, we'll be able to do so much more when that happens. This time, you just do business with God, however he leads. whether it's praying for unity or for strength and power to be more active in sharing your faith, or maybe it's something totally different. But you just spend some time in prayer while Autumn leads us in a song.